With that being said, I want to invite our guest speaker forward, Andy Gabrick. So happy to have you here, Andy. And, you know, I've always known Andy a little bit from afar, but it's been really great to get to know you a little bit better since picking you up last night and you coming here to Kamloops. And Andy's been ministering here in the province of BC for many years. You were at Emmanuel in Kelowna for several years as a youth pastor there, Richmond as well, at Broadway Church. Now Andy is pastoring Home Church in downtown Vancouver, and he wrote this book, InfoBCity. I'm going to let you talk about it.
Sure.
But when I saw that you were doing that, I was like, man, I'd love to be able to have you come speak a little bit about that with our church this morning.
Great.
So take it away, man. So
yeah,
good to have you.
Pastor Matt. Hey, thanks. Thank you for having me. I grew up as a Kootenai kid. I grew up in Creston, BC on a farm. So I love the Kootenais. I miss the Kootenais. And for some reason, God brought me and my family to downtown Vancouver. I can't believe it. I have four wonderful kids. They're all teenagers. Two of them actually want to be pastors. They're studying at Summit Pacific College. And then I have two teens at home, and they just eat everything, house and home, every moment. So please pray for us. I wanted to just simply start with this. When you have a chance, open up your digital device, go to your settings, scroll down from settings, and go to screen time. Or screen activity. You might want to pray before you do that, because you don't really know what you might see. But all of us are on digital spaces. I am wrestling with this as a parent, as a pastor, and I decided to do some research on this topic about how to be followers of Jesus in an information overload world. You might have experienced it. And I've been a next-gen pastor for many years. And so even working with students, I started to see the positive and sometimes the negative effects of being online too long. And then COVID hit. COVID hit, and we all became digital in a moment. You probably don't want to remember COVID, but just remember that we have all become digitalized in just because of essential needs. And so if you do have a chance, go to the screen time, because we will know that you are actually where you spend most of your time is what actually shapes you the most. Whether you like it or not, digital practices, whether positive or negative, whether a joy or challenge, is shaping you. And as followers of Jesus in the room, or maybe you're not a follower of Jesus yet, everything disciples you. And when it comes to our digital devices, we should work on what it means to be a follower of Jesus. And so this is a quick little chart that I want to show you of a quantitative approach. So there are social sciences out there about what does it really mean about being on our digital devices too long. It doesn't matter if it's work. It doesn't matter if it's education. It doesn't matter if you're scrolling over the news or you're on 20 different social media platforms. It doesn't matter how many followers you have on Instagram or how many followers that you have on Twitter. Maybe you deleted apps. Maybe you haven't deleted. This is about time spent online. And this is a quantitative approach all across the world. This isn't just a Canadian context, but it does include Canada. But over 200,000 people were monitored about their personal well-being when it came to digital practices. And as you see with the chart behind me, the more time we spend on our digital devices and digital spaces, your well-being actually decreases over time. In my home, we call them digital zombies or COVID kids. Like, for whatever reason, their brains turn off and then they turn into crazy kids. And we're like, why are you hitting your brother for no reason? Like, why is there anger rising? Why don't you remember to make your bed or brush your teeth or do the dishwasher? But we've told you like five times. And maybe you're seasoned here and you're like, well, that's teenagers for you, Andy. But there is also a distraction that comes from digital spaces. So what do I mean by well-being? Well, Pastor Matt mentioned about the greatest commandment is religious leaders who came to Jesus asking, what's the most important thing about life? What is the purpose of all this? What's the most important command? And Jesus quotes from the Old Testament, love God with all your heart, which is your emotions. Love God with all your soul. Let's pause here for a second. Your soul, as a follower of Jesus, is the very center of who you are. Everything flows from your soul. in the context as a follower of Jesus. So your identity flows out of it. Your purpose flows out of it. How we take time to hear God's word and worship God's voice, everything flows out of that. Your soul is your very center of who you're being. Love God with all your mind, which is our thoughts. Love God with all of your strength, which is your time and your body. Love God with all in all relationships. Your pastor has mentioned that. You know, where two or three are gathered in local church life, usually there's food. You know what I'm saying? Like, you're going to have a dinner at 5:30. Yeah, it's not after the first service. I understand that sometimes it's hard to go to two services, but it's a great time to invite someone to come out because it's a free lunch, free meal. And there's many good things that come out of those relationships. According to this chart that we talked about, well-being decreases even as followers of Jesus when we are on our digital practices. The word of the year from Oxford University for Oxford Dictionaries, you might have heard this or not, is called rage bait. Rage bait. Rage bait is actually a term that maybe you're like, hey, quit raging on me. But what it means is when you're scrolling, there is information being shared to you that is meant to make you angry. Political posts, religious posts, information that is being sent that our brains, unfortunately, are wired to be broken. And because we live in a broken world, we have broken souls. And so our information, we naturally want to click on rage bait. And when we click on rage bait, it creates an angry person. Let me put it this way. In Genesis chapter 3, there is someone who wants to rage bait Adam and Eve. His name's the serpent and the devil. And he shares information to Adam and Eve. And there's two things that we can take out of this when you're in a digital world that we live in today. Not all information is equal. Not all information leads to your well-being. Not all information that you're consuming is actually for your well-being. Number one, not all information is equal. Number two is not all information is beneficial to you. So even though the serpent actually said truth, it wasn't in the context of your own well-being. He was lying and he was twisting and manipulating the truth to say, did God really say that? We sing songs that God never fails, but sometimes we hear the whispers and say, well, life's not fair. Life is not good. How has God not failed me? Because life has failed me, or school has failed me. My friends have failed me. My relationships have failed me. And we think to ourselves that God is not therefore fair, and he's failed us. But that's manipulating the truth. That's because we have broken minds, and we use rage bait online in the context of manipulating truth. So how can we actually process information? Maybe you've seen and read Exodus chapter 32. It's the golden calf episode. There's a picture that I want to share with you. Because it's a long story, I'd rather show you a picture. And before people could actually read the Bible, this is an old painting from the 1500s. And this painting was to communicate scripture to regular folks. And so I wanted to share this with you. It's the golden calf episode from Exodus 32. Maybe you've seen this painting before or not. It's quite famous. But let me just simply ask you, what's the first thing that jumps out to you when you see this ancient meme? Anyone? Yeah, there's people dancing. There's a false god. Let's talk about the false god. You have this golden cow. It looks like more like a bull, maybe, not a calf. But what does the golden calf represent in this context? Well, in Exodus 32:1, it says that the people became impatient with God because God wasn't there. And so they start taking matters in their own hands. And somehow, some way, they decide to make a golden calf or a golden bull. Why is it a golden calf instead of a golden turkey? Anyone know? Why is it not like a picture of your wonderful pastor up there? Why is it a golden calf? Well, there's three actually explanations really quickly. The first one is some people believe that the people of God went back to worshiping the things that caused them to be slaves in Egypt. It was to worship Baal. It's to worship the gods of Egypt. Number two, many historians believe, stick with me on this, many historians believe that perhaps it was pagan worship in the area. So they were worshiping other gods. Therefore, instead of focusing on God, they started worshiping on the things around them and made these materialistic gods. Number three is probably a version of all three of them, is that they just try to worship Yahweh, one God, in their own way. They wanted to worship God in their own way. And then you see people dancing, having a good party. You see some guy with the old, you know, big beard. He looks old there. That's Aaron. He's the priest. He's inviting people to worship this idol. If you see in the top right-hand corner, you see Moses coming in the dark there. Joshua is there as well. He has the tablets. It's God's word back then. So they didn't have God's word. They had a tablet. And I'm not talking about a screen tablet, okay? I'm talking about not some high-pressured, entertaining glasses that's called a tablet, a modern-day tablet, an old, ancient tablet. And it was meant for God's covenant or God's relationship, renewed relationship with God's people. And he's with Joshua, and you see that he's basically about to throw it down because they forget God. Now, for all the theologians in the room, where is God in this picture? Do you remember the Old Testament narrative in this context? Where's God? On Mount Sinai, he was a pillar of smoke during the day and a pillar of fire at night. It represented God's presence, and God's presence in the Old Testament narrative represented prosperity and protection. It represented success, unity in the body. And where is God in this context? Above, in the background, far away from the people. Is it possible you and I can do that today? Is it possible that you and I can create our own materialistic, shiny screen, spend the most time, modern day golden calves? Is it possible? You might come here and say, Andy, it's not possible because it does, you know, I'm not being shaped by it, but your time will show me. Your settings will show you. Where you're spending your time is what you become. What you click is who you are. What you eat becomes what you consume, is how you're shaped. So how can you and I experience well-being in our world today? How you and I can be followers of Jesus, redeeming digital spaces as followers of Jesus, where you live in a world full of rage, wanting to bait you with harmful or hurtful information. How can we be different? Well, the first thing that I would share with you today is practice a digital Sabbath. Practice a digital Sabbath. What we mean by this is that God rested when the world was perfect. He sets the example. The heavens and the earth were completed in all their vast array, we see. By the seventh day, God finished the work he had been doing. And on the seventh day, he rested from all his work. Now, I know there's probably some really good people here that work very hard. In fact, all of you here probably could say, I work really hard. I need a rest. I need to put my feet up. I need to just take a break. But God's work was the most important work. He created everything out of nothing. And it was his voice that spoke into being. It's the same today. You see, when God speaks in this context with the cosmos, he brought light into the darkness. He brought purpose from the chaos. And he brought everything out of nothing. You see, when you practice a digital Sabbath, when you disconnect from your digital devices, it slows you down enough to hear God's voice. And God's voice brings truth. And his truth will always lead to your personal well-being. His truth wants to redeem you, shape you, heal you, restore you. Where digital spaces want to entertain you, consume you, cause rage and bait, and blame your pastor for it. Or blame others. And so God rested, and then he blessed the day and made it holy. In other words, we should come to church expecting God to speak to us when we quiet our hearts enough and our souls enough to hear his voice afresh. His word will never go void. So how do we do this? Now, I would actually encourage you to take a 24-hour period of time and actually disconnect. That might sound crazy for most of you. So take a digital detox. Take some time today to shut off your devices, to put it on mute with the social media notifications, and go for a walk. Read God's word. Get involved in church. Serve. Learn how to pray. We did prayers. Go back to that prayer. Take a picture when you go home and recite it. Let God invite you and speak to you in the midst of the chaos and confusion and being overwhelmed from information. They simply say that now, today, coming out of COVID, the information you're consuming each day, whether it's passive, active, or you are becoming reactive on the information you're getting online, is equivalent to a 200 to 300 page book per day, the information that your eyes is seeing. And according to a psychologist, a Canadian psychologist, he believes that, his name's David Levinson, he believes that all the information that you are consuming each day actually is stored in your brain, subconsciously. Might not make sense. But every experience, every conversation, every moment in memory is actually integrated into your brain. And so as followers of Jesus, when we quiet ourselves, we are able to shift through the noise and shift through the information overload, which I call infobesity, and that we'd be able to hear God's voice afresh. You see, you might have your favorite vacation spot or your cabin. Maybe it's at a beach. And you say to yourself, this is the best place on planet Earth. I get to rest. I get to restore. I get to relax. But actually, the best place on Earth is this church. It's to hear God afresh, restoring you. It's being part of a local church. It's when God heals and gives you rest for the soul. Jesus put it this way, though, is that we don't have to take some time to get away, but take a digital detox. He says the Sabbath was made for humanity, and for humanity, the Sabbath. But now the Son of Man, which is Jesus, he's quoting himself, is Lord over the Sabbath. So he gives us rest now in relationship with him. He gives us rest from the busyness. He gives us rest from the rage. He heals our souls, and he refreshes us when we come to church. So I encourage you, take a break from your phone. Give your thumbs a break. And give your heart an opportunity to find the joy of salvation through Jesus. The second thing that we encourage, especially as a family, if you have a family here, this is what we encourage, is to practice digital-free zones. So at the dinner table, there's no digital devices. In my four teenage rooms with those guys, we do not encourage their phones in their own rooms. It's always in public places. We all try to put our phones in a place where it is being plugged in and plugged up for the day in some common room. The reason for that is it creates opportunity for relationship to thrive. So when you have dinner together and there's no digital devices, you actually need to mingle with one another. It's something that actually is a discipleship practice. If you are a follower of Jesus, you will know this, that some of the most important conversations Jesus had was over a dinner table or a fire with a meal. And he conversed with those that are around them. And for us as a family, we only ask two questions. We say, hey, what was a high from today and what's a low from today? It's a culture thing now. We don't even have to ask it. And all of our families converse together over the dinner table. It's something that becomes really important. But you as a family or you as individuals, how can you practice digital-free zones? I remember doing a parent seminar at a university, and there was a teacher there. This is a non-faith-based, so I can't really talk about faith there, but one parent says, you know, my best time to be on digital practices or for me is the news. And so he actually did what I said, like, could you go to your settings and go into your time, how much time? And number one, after work and education for him was news. He was scrolling about 2.5 hours of news a day. And he said, the best time I do that, Andy, is when I'm on the toilet. He said, he confessed that in front of a bunch of other people. And, you know, everyone's clapping and a few people are like, ew, that's disgusting. But he went on. He's like, it's not about actually the news, Andy. It helps me decompress. And when I decompress, then I'm able to function better. But if you read the social sciences, it really is in community with one another, in relationship with one another, practicing conversations to create a better yes than the digital practices that want to consume us. So even as a family, we monitor all our devices and we call it the 222 principle. So this is around social media. We say, take a 2 hour max time per day on social media practices. If it's higher than that, try to bring it down. We encourage us as a family to take 2 hours before bedtime to not be on screens. If you want to write, write. If you want to play basketball, let's play basketball. You want to throw rocks at trains? Great, throw rocks at trains. Like, whatever it takes not to necessarily be on your digital devices, because it causes blue screen. It just rewires and reshapes our brains, and we can't even sleep at night because we're too preoccupied. Your brain is trying to shift through all that information. And then that's where digital zombies come from, because your brain actually shuts down after 2 hours of social media content, whether you're actively scrolling or passively scrolling or reacting, your brain will actually turn into a zombie. That's where irritability comes up. That's where rage bait wants to rise. And so we try to keep these practices. And then 2 hours after you wake up, get reset for the day. Practice those digital Sabbaths. The other thing that we do when we practice the 222 principle is transform our thinking. This is really important when it comes to the area of information and truth, because not all information leads to truth, which is our own personal well-being. So do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. That word renewing actually means to renovate. I don't know if you've ever had a renovation in your home before, but it can be chaotic at times because you're ripping things out, you're trying to put things in, and there's a process to renovations. Well, here we see that truth renovates our minds. Then you will be able to test and prove what God's will is in this digital world that is good, pleasing, and perfect in His will for us. So here's some really quick thoughts before I close here. The first thing is that He transforms or renovates our thinking. God's word, God's ways, God's spirit, He speaks to us. And approximately you and I have 40,000 thoughts per day. Crazy to think. Social scientists believe that up to one third of those, so almost 20,000, 17,000 thoughts, are either self-destructive or negative in nature. This is where rage bait comes in. This is where digital places want to harm you with information. These thoughts do not lead to well-being, but hurtful or hateful information that we even engage in. Paul puts it this way, that we should actually take every thought captive to make it obedient to Christ. So even when we're watching or consuming or scrolling, interacting with, we should filter this through these contexts. Each of us compare or compete. There has been so many social sciences that come out that show us the harmful effects, especially with young people, when it comes to digital practices online. And so the way to handle that is you transform your thinking. You renovate it from the information that is being bombarded and trying to entertain you and rage bait you to the truth. So one way you could do this as a spiritual exercise, if we can go to the next slide, is you actually replace your thoughts with His thoughts. If you get anything out of today, this is what I would encourage you. You can take your phone and take a picture if you want. Change your thoughts, replace your thoughts, understand your thoughts, and let Him renovate you with His thoughts. It will absolutely transform your life. It will transform your marriage. It will transform your friends. It will transform your schools. It will transform a church. But you got to be aware enough to understand that there's negative, broken thoughts in you and in me. and to transform us is to replace. You actually have to be aware enough to say, hey, I need to replace this thought with God's thoughts. And he will transform you. But not only will he transform your thoughts, he will transform your feelings. He will transform your feelings about yourself and others. Jesus put it this way from one of his friends, John recorded. To the Jews who have believed in him, Jesus said, if you hold to my teaching, in other words, if you hold on to my truth, you will really be my disciples or followers. Then you will know the truth and the truth will set you free. Set you free from what? Shame, guilt, condemnation. He will set you free from sin. He will set you free from the deception and the lies of a digital world that's bombarding you. He will speak to you in real time, and he transforms your feelings. He transforms your thoughts first, then he transforms your feelings, and then he transforms your desires. Your desires shift and change to bring glory to God. Life is not about you anymore. It's about him in you and what he has for you. And so we are supposed to renovate our minds by the truth, but the last thing here is that we renovate our minds actually with the Spirit of the living God, who is with us in everyday life. He renews us. He comes around alongside us. This isn't in the notes, but John talks about the Holy Spirit in only one way. Jesus speaks about it as well, that the Spirit of the living God is the Spirit of truth. In other words, God deposits truth into your life anytime, any place, anywhere. This thing is roughly, there is a study done that about 98% of us is an arm length away from our digital device. It's always with us. It's in my back pocket. It's on my nightstand. It's in my car. 98%, just think about that. In other words, this thing is always on. It's always wanting my attention. It's always with us, anytime, any place, anywhere. But the Holy Spirit is with us anytime, any place, anywhere. He's always on. He's always with us. You don't have to plug in this phone. You don't need 5G network. But he speaks truth. And he wants to download truth to us. He transforms our thoughts, our feelings, and our desires. And he gives you all the things that you need in this world to be successful. That's for a different day. Actually, show up on Wednesdays. That's how to show up, be successful. Learn how to read the Bible. Learn how to pray. Learn how to hear his voice. And everything else in life will flow. You don't have to fight. You don't have to compare. You don't have to compete. Just show up and let God do the rest for you. And the last one is confess digital sins. I love how James puts this. John puts it, if we claim that we are without sin, without brokenness, friends. So I'm not just talking about activity here. I'm not just talking about acts. I'm talking about just who we are. We're broken people. We deceive ourselves. Sounds like online places, hey? We get deceived and the truth is not in us. But if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. Let me pause really quickly here. The first thing that we see is that there's self-awareness when you confess sin. There's responsibility there. You're not shifting it to your spouse, saying, I'm angry because of my spouse. Or I said really mean things online because I wanted to. Or I'm treating this person in this way because they made me treat that person that way. It's like me saying that I'm a Canucks fan and my brother-in-law is an Oilers fan and we just don't get along and therefore I can treat him terribly because he's an Oilers fan. It's not how it works as a follower of Jesus. But when you confess your sins, you're not shifting blame or responsibility onto others, even God. You're owning it. You're self-aware, but you don't have to own it. Hear that? You're owning it, but you don't have to own it. Sin doesn't have to shape you. The time you're spending online does not need to shape you. The stuff that you stumbled on, the things that are triggering you, the things that are raging you, does not need to own you if you own it. And what you do is you pass it to Jesus. How awesome is that? You confess it. He's faithful and just. In other words, he's not scared. He is not judging you. He's not shocked. He just wants you to come to him and that confess it. Say, hey, God, I messed up. I bring it to you. And then he says, he will forgive our sins. It doesn't say, hey, you have to pay to get forgiveness of sin. Hey, you have to buy Andy's book to find confession and sin. You have to show up at church. No, this is something you could do every day. Anytime, any place. It's a spiritual digital practice. And why I say this is because it will set you free from digital addiction. It will set you free from lies. It will set you free from deception. It will set you free from when you're raging or when you're upset, you want to go to digital practices. It will set you free so that you can pray, to read, to be consumed by the Spirit rather than consumed by information. And then purify us from all unrighteousness. That's a big word, unrighteousness, but righteousness simply means right relationship. Right relationship with God. Right relationship with others. So when I, right relationship with myself. So when I confess sin, I'm actually a better person. I'm a better pastor. I'm a better husband. When I confess sin. It's the same with you. So we have to pause. What digital sins do you need to confess? Even more so, what brokenness do you need to give to the Lord? As I mentioned, there's this Spirit of truth. The Holy Spirit is here and he ministers to us. He's not necessarily just in this room, he's in our hearts. And as you are a follower of Jesus, the Holy Spirit lives within you. You are a new person, a different person. But the Holy Spirit reveals to us what we need to do next. What we need to do now. The realities of our modern day world, which is bombarded with up to 200 to 300 pages of information per day. We need to, as followers of Jesus, find well-being in a modern day world. And as followers of Jesus, as we do reflections here, what digital practice do you need to start as a follower of Jesus? What's something that you can start today? Is it to create a digital Sabbath? Is it to practice the 222 principle? Is it to put your phones off of the table and have a meal with someone? Is to invite someone to church? Maybe it's a Wednesday night. Maybe it's a home group or a core group. Whatever that looks like for you, what does that look like in the context of Sabbath? Because the Sabbath isn't just about time or our talents or our treasures. Sabbath is really about a relationship now with Jesus. And Jesus restores us and heals us. What digital sins do you need to confess to Jesus before you leave this place and get busy? What is something that you can bring to the Lord? And how can you develop healthy digital habits? So there's a QR code that I want to share with you really quickly. Yes, it's okay to use your phones. I'm not going to ask you to, you know, whatever that looks like to you. It's a self-assessment that we did. So I did a doctorate of ministry on faith formation, on digital practices. This is free for you. It's complimentary. You have to use that promo code called DUCO. If you don't, it's going to charge you $10, and I don't want to charge you $10, okay? So what it does, it actually helps you in real time to understand your digital practices right now. It talks about those five quadrants of loving God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and your neighbor according to the level of consumption of digital spaces on time, and it will share an infographic to you. That infographic will share with you the level of infobesity that you're experiencing, and number two, give you digital spiritual practices of how to redeem digital spaces. And so I encourage you, this is our gift to you. We'd love you to use it. If not, don't use it. If you know that you thought, hey, my grandkids should have been here or someone should have been here today, feel free to take a picture, send it to them. They might not get it, whatever that looks like, but it is a free resource for you and you can use it anytime. You can use it now and in 6 months from now, whatever that looks like. And it's based on subjective logic. It's a big fancy word about what that looks like for you right now. It's not based on assumptions. It's not based on what we think is best for you. It's actually based on where you're at right now. It's a self-awareness tool. And self-awareness should lead to self-empowerment and lead you to become more like Jesus and redeem the times that we have. Let me pray with you. Lord, I thank you for this church. We thank you that you are the hope of the world, that in a world that is bombarded by information and information overload, that we can experience truth because truth is a person named Jesus. Lord, give us the courage today to practice Sabbaths, to learn how to disconnect from digital spaces, to reconnect with the divine, that we would learn how to hear your voice that helps us sharpen and create clarity and attention to you rather than the distraction and the cheap forms of entertainment online. Lord, help us to learn how to be transformed by the renewing of our mind, that our thoughts would be your thoughts, that we wouldn't experience the brokenness of our own thoughts. I pray that people would experience healing in their own minds, in their relationships, and who they are in Jesus. Even now, Lord, for those that have compared or competed online about themselves, that they would not see themselves as they would see themselves, but that they would see themselves as how you, Jesus, see you. And that they would practice how to move their thoughts into your thoughts. And lastly, help us to, by example, own our actions. That we would confess our sins to you. That we wouldn't blame or shift responsibility, but that we would own it. But that we would experience freedom from digital addiction, freedom from anxiety and mild forms of depression. That we would be free from the cheap dopamine and the entertainment that just wants to bombard you, or the rage bait and the harmful or hurtful information. That there would be healing in this room, and that joy would rise because of who you are and the salvation of our own souls. We pray, O God, that you would lead us and continue to heal us. In your name, amen.